My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. I want to consider with you this morning a part of that gospel reading, at the end of that reading, from Mark chapter 3, as, well, at the beginning, the family of Christ, his brothers, mother, thought he was out of his mind, and then again at the end of this gospel reading we read this. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is God's word. Please be seated. In the movie Lilo and Stitch, Lilo, a little 6-year-old girl, and her big sister go to the local dog kennel to adopt a dog for Lilo. And Lilo chooses the strangest looking dog, if you've ever seen this movie. Kind of bluish in color, big ears, big black eyes, and big fangs. But this dog, of course, is actually a laboratory experiment that was created on a distant planet by a mad scientist involved in illegal genetic experimentation. This creature was genetically engineered by this scientist to cause chaos and destruction everywhere he went. Well, this dog ends up on Earth in this dog kennel in Hawaii, where Lilo meets him, and she falls in love with him and adopts him and names him Stitch. And when the sisters take him home, well, Stitch does what he is engineered to do, and he just starts tearing apart the place. Just complete chaos, and the big sister has had it, and she picks him up. She's ready to throw him out of the house until Lilo reminds her big sister of something that their dad used to say. "Ohana means family," she said. "And family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten." Well, that melts the big sister's heart, and Stitch becomes part of the family. And that concept of Ohana just captivates Stitch, who, well, as a laboratory experiment, of course, had no family, no Ohana. But now, with Lilo and her sister, now he has a family, and it means everything to him. And throughout the movie, this becomes the repeated refrain. Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. So Lilo and Stitch end up going through all of these wild adventures together. They deal with a lot of things, bullies and aliens from some celestial federation that are trying to capture Lilo or Stitch and bring him back to his planet. Social workers who want to break up Lilo and her sister. But through all of it, the bonds of Ohana hold them together, even causing Stitch, by the end, to reconsider his destructive ways. And as the movie ends, Stitch says, "This is my family. It's little and broken, but still good." God also thinks family is good. His goal is family, Ohana. Even before the creation, there was that familial bond between the Father and the Son from eternity. And then when the Spirit breathed life into Adam, there was another son created, and the family grew. And then next, God created the woman as the perfect complement to the man. The grand finale of his creation is a daughter for himself and a wife for Adam. And thus God instituted the foundational family framework of marriage, so that from this, within this framework, would come children by which the Father would grow his family even more, until the whole earth was filled with his sons and his daughters, his Ohana. God's goal is family. Family for him and family for us. And so we read in Genesis that God created mankind in his image. That's family language. To say that you're made in someone's image is like saying he's a chip off the old block, or she is the spitten image of her mother. To be in the Father's image is to be part of the Father's family. But, as we read this morning, sadly, tragically, like Stitch said of his family, this family is broken. God's family is broken. God's family is broken because we're broken. To use the language of the prophet Ezekiel, we are a rebel people who have been whoring around with the gods of this world, money, status, material things, all kinds, even our families, as if these things have godlike powers to make this life worthwhile. And then in our selfish and vain pursuit of these things, our family manifests all kinds of dysfunction. Anger is everywhere, jealousy, bitterness, rivalries, violence, stealing, name-calling, bullying, divisions, all because everyone is pursuing these things for themselves. And so we are dysfunctional. And that's why we lost our family status as God's bride and as His children, as His sisters and brothers. We are no longer children of the Heavenly Father. But as Jesus said in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do his will. God's ohana is broken. And yet, because of Christ, this brokenness is not the unmitigated disaster you might think that it is. Because broken is right where God wants us. Because the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart He will not despise. When life has broken us, when sin has broken us, and we know it, God has us right where He can powerfully recreate us by the message of His loving grace in Christ, His Son. And that message is that when God set out to win back His family from sin and death and hell, that nobody would be left behind or forgotten. Because He takes away the sins of the whole world. And so the Son of God became the seed of the woman, promised in Genesis chapter 3:15 that we just read today. And as predicted, the serpent would strike His heel, inflicting a painful and a mortal wound. Death belongs to Satan, and yet Jesus drinks its poison cup down to the dregs. Sin is the root of death, and yet Jesus voluntarily takes all of it upon Himself. He bears its load, and He pays its price. But the seed of the woman is not done yet. He rises from the grave, victorious over sin. And then, as we say in the Creed, He descended into hell to show Himself alive and victorious, and so He crushes the head of Satan in a blaze of resurrection glory and power. To use the language of our gospel reading today, Jesus enters the strong man's own house, Satan's hell house, and He binds him, and then He plunders his house, stealing us back from Satan to Himself to make us once again the children of our Heavenly Father, His brothers and sisters, His bride. And that's why Jesus says today in our gospel, here are my mother and my brothers, as He looks around at everybody around Him. He says, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. We are God's ohana, in whom the will of God to believe in Jesus Christ has been fulfilled. We are His bride once again, for whom Christ gave His life, to sanctify us, to wash us with water and the Word, and to present us to Himself in splendor without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy in His sight. We are His sisters and His brothers again, co-heirs with Him of the family fortune in the Father's kingdom. We are the children of the Heavenly Father, reclaimed and recreated to be His family once again. In Christ, God's family has been healed, for by His wounds we have been healed. And now in Him, the Father gives us the right to become the children of God, and so we are, forgiven, reconciled, and joyfully anticipating that big family reunion in the resurrection. His grace leaves nobody behind. His gospel leaves nobody forgotten. And then in Christ is also healing for our broken families here on this earth. Our families struggle Because we are broken. We are a broken people. And so families are broken. Did you notice in our reading today that as soon as our first parents broke their bond with the Heavenly Father and defied Him, that their bond with each other also broke? And all of a sudden they're at each other. And it makes sense because to rebel against the Father is to rebel against His goal of family. And ever since then, our families have been under attack by Satan, who opposes everything that God loves, especially family. And now under the stress of sin's awful curse, families have a hard time. Strife in marriage, divorce, child rearing that is often difficult and trying, even resorting to killing our own unborn children, adultery, unwanted children, absent fathers, increasing disobedience by children of their parents, as the scriptures would prophesy would be at the end of time, sibling rivalries and jealousies that often last a lifetime and just destroy family relationships and get-togethers, generational poverty and abuse and dysfunction. Even Jesus' own earthly family was broken, thinking Him, their son and their brother, to be out of his mind, as we read in our gospel reading, wanting to seize Him. Our families are broken because God's family is broken. We're broken. But family is still God's goal. He's not going to give up on it. Healing families is His passion. And He gave His Son for the restoration of His family. And in Him can supernaturally heal our families, no matter what the dysfunction. Do you remember Joseph's family in the Old Testament? You talk about dysfunction. Their father, Jacob, that serial deceiver who played favorites with his sons, stirring up jealousy and rivalry amongst the siblings to the point that the brothers even wanted to kill their little brother, Joseph. Instead, they sold him into slavery. I guess that's a little better. And then the deception when these sons told their father that his favorite son, their brother Joseph, was dead. And then watching their own father grieve bitterly, knowing that it was all for nothing. Those are some pretty cold hearts in that family, and a lot of dysfunction. But Joseph's life was touched by the amazing grace of God. And from the depths of despair in prison, God lifted him up and raised him up to a position in Egypt of great power and authority and prestige and wealth. And if you remember the story, that grace of God changed Joseph, prompting him to forgive his brothers. And Joseph became the catalyst in his family for healing and for restored relationships. And you can be that catalyst in your family. As one who has found peace with God in Jesus Christ, now you be the peacemaker in your family. Be the agent of God's healing and forgiveness. It is our call within our families, where God has set us, to model for our brothers and our sisters and our cousins and our aunts and our uncles prayerfulness and repentance and the grace of forgiving and of being forgiven. As St. James encourages us, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God's goal is family, the healing of His family and of your family. And in this healing, nobody gets left behind. Nobody is forgotten. Not even those family members that you are having such a hard time forgiving and loving. God's goal for your family, as it is for His, is that it be healed and restored, and that you be that agent of healing, and that nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Let's pray. Oh God, You have restored us to Your family in Christ, reconciling us to Yourself in the forgiveness of sins which He won for us at the cross. Now make me an agent of healing in my broken family, that we too may enjoy reconciliation and peace with those whom you have given to us to be our nearest and our dearest. Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.